Hello, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to my podcast, Renew Motherhood. And this episode is about empowerment for kids. And I'm so grateful that my guest joins me. It's Simon Bedrock. And I would like to give this to you, Simon. Just briefly introduce yourself, please.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Blanca. Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. So my name is Simon Badrock. I'm based in the UK, in Manchester, in Northern England. And I am a kids empowerment coach. Just starting off on my journey. And yeah. I'm here to talk about that.
Yeah, great. So the topic is really to empower kids. How did you come across this? What happened that you find this topic? Because it's not a usual topic. Do you
Yeah,
have
no, it's
kids by
not.
your own?
I have kids of my own. Yeah. Yeah. I have two step kids. And I have one child with my current partner, who's now 16 years old. The other two are a lot older. They're living in, they have their own lives working. And it's not a normal path. I'm not a normal guy. Actually, I come from an engineering background. And yeah, I suppose my own empowerment journey really started probably about 14 years ago, really. If you look back and connect the dots, it's probably been going on my whole life. But I took the step of leaving my engineering career and moved into I bought a food truck. Started a food
Oh,
truck.
wow.
And that really was just kind of the start of my empowerment journey of just aligning my passion and my purpose. And so it was a bit of a disaster. I have no idea about business. I had a family at the time with three kids. I was the only breadwinner. And yeah, let's say it was a very steep learning curve. And in the end, I, after kind of 10 years working in food and actually creating a one point at three restaurants, I kind of came to the conclusion and understanding that actually what I thought was my passion and purpose, I kind of knew from the beginning wasn't really. All I'd done was I just kind of tried to focus on something which I enjoyed doing and which I thought would make money.
Well, at this point, if you have got a family, somewhere has to bring the
Yeah, sure,
money
of course it does. Yeah. So to do with my current career, which is as a kids empowerment coach, that all really fit together and kind of jumped into place when I was doing some coaching myself and working through an exercise. I came up, I wrote it down in my journal. I want to be a kids' life coach. This is my true purpose and passion.
Yes, that's
And
wonderful.
yeah, when I said that and wrote it down, they say that you can only connect the dots kind of looking backwards. It just kind of all the pieces of the jigsaw of my life just seemed to fall into place. I knew I was onto something.
I think that's crucial because you always think, what's my way? What's my path? What can I do? But you're right on the path. So it's always divine time, isn't it?
Yeah, divine timing. That's a very big subject to jump into there, Blanca. But I truly believe that we are all of us exactly where we need to be at this moment in time. And
And I think,
that,
yeah, go on, please.
no, and that if you are willing, then the path will present itself. And
Yes.
yeah, that's what it's done in some extraordinary ways for me over there.
It's a good
Since I made
reminder, I think, for
that
all of us.
decision.
It's a good reminder for all of us to just say, okay, I can let go all the stress to not be where I'm supposed to be, because you're now in the position just to learn something and to get the information that you need and to experience everything so that your path, you're stepping on to your path anyway. So I think it's a good.
In a lot of ways, we are all on our perfect path anyway, and that that it's only really when we step outside that and somehow think that we're not, and that we try and fight and struggle to find the way forward and get back on the path. Sometimes it's just that kind of letting go that helps us helps us be able to, we're actually just giving our space ourselves space. That's what we don't do a lot
Yeah.
nowadays, is everybody's just so busy struggling trying to make ends meet that we just don't give our space ourselves space to even consider these sort of questions
Yeah, right. Well,
and set the direction for our lives.
yeah, right. Leads me to another question. If parents are worried about their kids, what would be your number one advice for those parents?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Thank you. So I think if your kids are struggling, usually a parent's first reaction is to start blaming themselves in some way, and in some respect, feel like that you have failed somewhere along your somewhere along your journey
Yeah.
as a parent.
Right.
And it's just that understanding that as a parent you never wake up in the morning thinking, oh, how can I make my child struggle more today.
Usually not.
You just get on and you just do the best that you can. That's what the deal is. That's what it's all about, being a parent. And
Sometimes forget this, don't we? We sometimes forget that we are the ones who really want to do
absolutely,
the best.
absolutely.
It's
I think we forget that all the time as parents, that
a great reminder for all of us.
and it's only when we perhaps give ourselves a little bit of space again, or even just hear that from from other people who are looking in onto our lives, because we quite often forget how far we're actually coming along. And the good that we're doing, and the and the amazing place that we are, even though we might feel like we're a bit of a failure, or that our kids are struggling and not being able to cope with what life's throwing at them at the moment in some way or another, there's always opportunity and things to be able to give thanks for.
Yes.
Another thing which another piece of advice which I'd say really is that on top of all that, that I'd like to just, present to parents that there are other options available. I know that when my youngest child was going through, quite serious kind of mental health challenges, our immediate reaction was just to kind of, phone a therapist or, try and get his brain fixed somehow, with we kind of went down that road. And by the time we came out the other side of that, I kind of knew, and this is before I knew anything even about coaching. I kind of knew what I wanted for him. I knew that his problems weren't, serious enough to be, on medication or, just be, having serious kind of like clinical interventions. I knew that there was like some path forward for him, whereby, he could be, encouraged and enabled to empower himself to, which in fact is exactly what he did in the end. And he got through that himself
Wonderful.
without any coaching, any coach or help or
He has
support.
got you.
Yeah. Thank you. And yeah, I think there's kind of quite a gaping gap, which I think in a lot of ways the coaching has kind of like just as just roller coasted in to fill over these past, kind of like especially 5 years, whereby there's just a massive gap between, kids who are really struggling with extreme trauma, whose best path probably would be with, therapists, psychiatrists, psychologists, and perhaps even medication. But, there's a huge gap with kids and parents who are just struggling, with the stresses and strains of today's society. Life's tough, for everybody. And, just putting your hand up and getting asking for some sort of support and help there doesn't necessarily, so, sorry, doesn't mean in any way that, you're a failure. In fact, it can be quite the opposite. It can be, actually, I want to, empower myself as a parent, to be able to help and support my child even on even better than I'm doing at the moment, and having a little bit of help, extra help and support doing that, I don't think is I think it's becoming a lot more acceptable now.
Oh, that's a wonderful perspective to change, really, to not being in a victim mode as a parent, to not knowing anything, but to say, I would like to have more, to get more inside of our family, and therefore to step out and to say, hey, can you help me? Can you support me? And
Yeah, yeah,
to
yeah,
get the energy in. That's
yeah, yeah.
really
Well,
key.
I think it's just kind of, digging into that a little bit. There's an old African saying, isn't there, which just came to me then, which is, it takes a village to raise a child. And I think, as a society general, I don't know how it is in Germany, but in the UK, we tend to be a lot more insular. My wife is actually a Latin American from Colombia, and their kind of their mentality is much more like that, kind of African saying of, taking a village to raise a child. Whereas in the UK, we tend to just kind of like say, no, I've got this, and having that kind of like independent stance and almost building kind of like a force field around yourself, putting so much stress and pressure on yourself as a parent that, that you need to cope,
I can relate to this. I think it's similar in Germany. So it's not, but I love this saying, it takes a village to raise a child. So this is awesome. And I think this should really get into the minds of the parents to say, hey, you're not alone. There are people around you who really are knowledge, experience to support you in different areas. That doesn't mean you have to take, you give all your responsibility away. So just to get those diamonds on the outside inside of your family. So I think this is wonderful. What would you say is the, is it that kids struggle mostly nowadays? Is there a topic that shows up for them? Have you found anything or?
Yeah, I think generally it can just be boiled down to just stress. I quite like the analogy that, kids being born into the world these days, it's just kind of like, I suppose in some respect, like turning up late to the office party. Everybody's already drunk. You kind of turn up and you just kind of like you just kind of they've already got the conversations going and having a laugh, and you just kind of like find it difficult to just kind of like fit in to what's going on. And I think that the way the world is right now, and kids who, in my opinion, are just a lot more switched on and a lot more in tune with what we're possibly going to talk about, with to do with their gifts and their purpose, that they want to bring to the world. But they're kind of like born into this world. And I had this very interesting conversation with Natalie Ledwell the other day. She's the owner of Mind Movies, and she's on a international transformational council at the moment. And she really hammered it home. And she was just talking about, as from the business perspective, to do with sales of her product at the moment, that people are finding it so difficult, to find the spare money to actually even buy the Mind Movies product, because everybody's just in this kind of like struggle of trying to survive. And the stresses and strains which go along with that, I think kids being born into the world today just kind of pick up on that, and just and they just kind of like take a bit of a step back, because they, in some way, I think they intuitively know that this is not how it should be. The life shouldn't be,
That's right.
this stressful. And then, they get into the schooling system, and again, I don't know what it's like in Germany. I kind of expect it could be similar to what it is like in the UK. But oh my gosh, I think one of the things that really, I'm going a bit off on one now, because this is just reminded me of probably like one of the first real kind of pieces of the jigsaw which started fitting together with me, was for my when I went to a school meeting with my daughter. And it was just in the build up to her GCSEs, which are the exams which you take when you're 16 years old, and the amount of stress which was being poured onto these children. I can't actually. I sat through that whole meeting, and actually, in the school hall where we had the meeting, they had this beautiful, school mission statement, which was all along the lines of, giving each child, the opportunity to discover their own unique gifts and skills, and setting them up to win and take those out into the world and give their gift. And I sat there through this meeting. I turned up to the meeting. I was like, wow, this is just like the best school ever. And then I sat there in this meeting and I was just like, the head teacher, actually sat there and told us, yeah, that as parents, under no circumstances whatsoever, were we to, make any calls of judgment as to whether our child was well enough to come into school or not. That if they were sick at home, that we should make them going to school, yeah,
What?
and that the teachers will decide whether our child is well enough or not to stay at school. And if they're too ill, then they'll send them home. But otherwise, they'll just make them, just like plow on through it, keep going. Just, oh my, as the amount of stress which is,
Oh.
being put onto the kids in, to perform, the stress which inadvertently they may have, through just, with their parents just hustling and trying to make ends meet, it can cause that kind of like disengagement for kids. And it can also manifest itself, I think, in many different ways, in terms of, behavioral and emotional problems, relationship problems, with the that that is so prevalent now with kids.
Yeah, this is a very good example, I think, of having this picture of this beautiful world with meaningful thoughts around, yes, develop your own gift, find your uniqueness, and then the gap between applying everything. So, how does it look like? Is she the head teacher or the teacher or the school is? Are they really aligned to their mission, what they want to give? So, and I
Well,
think
very, very, very obviously not. And the beautiful and the beautiful thing about that story. Sorry, in the framework of schools, and I know and I've met them, there are teachers who are, I'm not by any stretch of the
yeah.
imagination, painting education and, tarring all teachers with that same brush. I had that experience in school and I went home that evening with such an incredible sense of disease, disease, whatever, like misalignment, like you said, of what was going on. But I know I personally know teachers who are working in schools who are extraordinarily aligned. Just that they are just the most magnificent, beautiful human beings who are just wanting that for children and leading kids, through that path. But yeah, the most beautiful thing about that story was that actually, when I woke up the next morning, I had I just felt so uncomfortable that evening, and I just couldn't put my finger on what was going on what exactly had gone wrong, or what, how my daughter's school could like be like this. I woke up the next morning, and actually it was a catering moment, so I'd already launched the food truck by this time, and I actually had a catering magazine like dropped in through the front door, and it had a full like 3-4 page article, and I'd love to remember who it was, who had actually written this article, but it was just beautifully written, basically explaining everything that I'd felt that evening before, that I'd been to my daughter's school, and it was all just about how the education system had developed and just become a bit broken and a bit kind of misguided and miscited, and just kind of trying to achieve goals and in the way that they're trying to achieve their goals. And just going back to what I was talking about, about those real true teachers, that I know, where they are, and it used a beautiful analogy. I can remember it to this day, of the teachers being more like gardeners. So that, and this is the way that we see kids in the life coaching that we do, in that every single child is born with that seed of potential within inside the soil of their soul, and that it isn't your job to just like kind of try and force it out of them or stress it out of them. It's to be that nurturing that nurturing what you call it, influence that can feed and water and actually enable that seed to grow.
That's nice. So if parents work with you, kids work with you, actually kids work with you, how will their life look like after working with you?
Yeah,
How can I make a picture of my in my brain about this?
so I partner with parents, and I work with kids. And so what we've done is we've developed a modularized coaching program, which spans over 6 months. It's 12 modules long. And through that, we lead kids through a process of discovery and insights. And it starts off with just, teaching them how they are amazing creators and how they are actually creating their own reality all the time, that the way they think about the world, can really influence what shows up in their lives. We go through modules to do with enhancing learning, about how to make that more effortless and enjoyable. About mastering emotions, we do some huge, I mean, just massive topics. Mastering emotions and how to become more resilient.
That's great.
To do
Because
with
you never know what crisis will pass your way and what you are going through, and if you are really emotionally stable and resilient and centered, actually, you can go through each challenge, can't you?
So emotional resilience, emotional IQ is just being given such a great press nowadays, and it's about time. How I was brought up, and I think most people of my generation, we just kind of just went through life really, just kind of as an emotional an emotional pinball. Just just being bounced around and not never really understanding and being given the tools and skills to be able to label and in some way be able to deal with the emotions in a, in an intelligent way. Yeah, it's huge.
Would you say there is a, well, not a dark side, but a hidden side whilst children grow up that no one is talking about?
So I mean, all that previously, that we've talked about, there's so all that stuff that we talked about, it certainly wasn't talked about in around the dinner table in my home, and I think it's becoming more common now, but it's because a lot of these things are actually really coming to light and really being being given some real kind of authenticity, or authenticity is probably not the right word, but what do you call it? Kind of verification, through the great science that's being done. For example, I know you're a great fan of Joe Dispenza's work, and
I am.
we've talked about that before, and the steps which have been made even just within the last 5 or 10 years to do with really understanding on a scientific level our inner world, which previously has been extraordinarily nebulous. Well, a very long time ago, it was just left completely left to religion to sort out, all our values and emotions, and the way we lived our lives was just kind of left on one side, and science was on another. But they converged in such an amazing way now, that a lot of this stuff, a lot of the skills and techniques and insights that we're actually presenting to kids nowadays, are, I dare say, even myself up to a year and a year and a half ago, I certainly didn't feel equipped to be able to talk about emotions and relationships, and the abundance mentality, about authenticity, about a passion and a purpose and a meaning in life.
Passion, purpose, meaning,
But
a lot of this stuff.
through this conversion of science, and being able to kind of like look at and study our inner world, which at the end of the day is invisible, is very nebulous. What it's done is it's allowed people, very very intelligent scientists and great thinkers, to be able to boil down these very complex subjects, and present them in very understandable ways, which can now be explained to a 6-year-old, explain to a 6-year-old, about subconscious and how their brain works and how they can set themselves up to win, and have those feelings of abundance in their life, and kind of understand what limiting beliefs are, and how they can, bust through those, and create for themselves that feeling of just being, feeling invincible and being able to, do anything and achieve their dreams. It's all that has come about just has really come to a head over these past few years, and it just it just really drives it home. The way we are now, we're just standing on the shoulders of giants, who have just set this up for us, to be able to just, for those who have the passion and purpose, to be able to just kind of like really, jump ahead of the curve and just really bring these incredibly complex subjects, right down to kids, to just start them, so, start them off in life with, with the sails up, with just, with a real direction and meaning and purpose, which, I truly think was, in a lot of ways, just unavailable to me, when I was 6, 8, 10, 12 years old. These things weren't
We are now in
around.
an information area. It's the information time. Information are very quickly accepted, and you can gather it all over the world, wherever you are. And sometimes a little too much, I think, but so that you have to focus on what's good and what's not so good. And Did that
Yeah,
sound
well,
the right way?
information age where we're kind of drowning in information, but we're just starving for any sort of levels of meaning and purpose and fulfillment. There's such huge words which are just kind of just being just drowned out by business busyness and information. And just helping kids being able to kind of like sift through that and just cut it right back.
What would you say is your strength if you work with the kids or parent, well, partner with your parents and working with the kids? I think this is a great picture. So what would you consider is your strength? Oh, now you're frozen.
Yeah, thank you. Well, have I? Can you hear me now? Yeah, thank you. So, I'm just a big kid anyway. All these concepts which we've just been talking about now, we actually bring those to kids, through just having fun and play. And so, having fun and playing for a living is just,
We forget
it
this as
is
adults.
just my ideal job. For some people, that would just be an absolute nightmare. For me, it's my ideal of a dream job. Being able to bring this work to kids, like we say, to be able to, really just kind of like dig down with them and start really kind of helping them to lock into their passion and purpose and their actual reason for being here on planet Earth. But so I can relate to kids quite easily. I just ha always have done and have had no barriers at all to just seeing kids as equals. Just working with kids is just such a massive joy to me because, well, oof, wow, got a bit emotional there, just like even thinking about it. But the in a lot of cases, the kids are my teachers. They're unlocking things and teaching me things, making me look at my life and the world in such extraordinary ways, which I never even considered before.
Yeah, great. Yeah, that's, I think this is awesome because if you can really relate to the children and you can contact them on a deeper level so that they are just following you and you've got the knowledge and you are able to give it through the play and through, yes, to have fun. And I always think, I know that if you have fun with something, you are very good in learning. So it just takes you seconds, whilst if you have struggles with learning, you think, oh, it doesn't get into my brain. I have to do it again. I don't like it. So, but having fun is
Yeah,
just easy
we've all been
to
there. Yeah.
learn. Okay, great. So, how can people reach out to you? What's your offer? How can they contact you and
Thank
say,
you.
oh, I need this support?
Yeah, so we've got a whole bunch of offers. As I said, I am based in South Manchester in the UK. And most of my coaching actually occurs one-on-one with kids in person. I do coaching online, but we have a whole range of offers basically starting with just going through some sorry not some of the modules which I talked about before with some helpful videos for parents to actually be able to coach their own kids. With some guidance,
That's great.
just right up to the opportunity to have me along in person, coaching your child one-on-one, and everything in between. So, yeah.
Great.
So we are at empowermentcoach.org.org, empowermentcoach, that's all one word, .org. And so, yeah, you can go on there and check us out.
Great, thank you. This was awesome. I think this is such a good contribution because it's so insightful and it's so helpful. Our children are might be the leaders of tomorrow. So they are, I don't know, might be, no one knows, but if we can raise them with resilience, with confidence and with joy and with a purpose and a mission, how can our world look like? I think this is very visionary.
Yeah, thank you. I love that when you said that our children might be the leaders of tomorrow. I'm sure you were talking about like our children, as in the guys who live in your house right now. I mean, our children, the planet's children, are the leaders of tomorrow. I mean, these are the guys who are going to be paying it forward. That's what really digs into a huge driver for me. It's just seeing that and in what a way in whatever way I can, just being able to just pay it forward and just like I said, just help kids get ahead of the curve, to just really, just start bringing some more love and light and harmony and into this world where seemingly at the moment it seems to be so lacking in the leaders and the and the stuff that we see going on about us, but all of tomorrow is inside the minds of our children. And just having the pleasure of just being able to help them get in tune with that and be able to unlock that, it's just a privilege and a joy. Yeah, thank you,
Wonderful.
Blanca.
Thank you for being my guest here on this podcast. And yes, it was wonderful to get to know more about you and what your offer is and what your help is. So I'd like to thank you. Thank you to the audience who is listening now. And I like everyone to encourage follow this podcast, Renew Motherhood, and new episodes will follow too. Have a great day.